welcome back to Animals Today. You're listening to Dr. Peter Spiegel here. And for those of you who don't know, when I'm not working here on Animals Today or doing my work, our work on advancing the interests of animals, I am a full-time ophthalmologist, a specialist in pediatric ophthalmology. Pediatric ophthalmology and strabismus is the full title. And as a group, care for the eye needs of kids and adults. And a lot of this has to do with the alignment of the eyes. They cross in or out or up or down. And that misalignment we refer to as strabismus. Any misalignment is strabismus. And a lot of what we do, like my main surgery that I do, is strabismus surgery, which has its goal to align the eyes by moving the eye muscles. And coincidentally, and one of the reasons why I wanted to bring this to you today is that the past few days, my professional organization, which is the American Association for Pediatric Ophthalmology and Strabismus, is here right in my hometown, which is, you know, in the Southern California Coachella Valley Desert, and we are in Rancho Mirage, California, and I have been hanging out with all the pediatric ophthalmologists from the U.S. and around the world, indeed, talking about all the latest in eye care for kids and adults. And a few years ago, as I was paging through one of the recent journals, I came across an article that really got my attention, and I wanted to share this with you. And the article was a research paper titled "Globe Perforation During Strabismus Surgery in an Animal Model, Treatment Versus Observation." And I will explain this to you, that this was a study done on rabbits, and the goal of the study was to try to decide how to manage a certain complication that can happen, which is when you are moving an eye muscle on an eye, you need to actually cut it off from its insertion on the globe and then actually sew it with little suture into the wall of the eye. So you sew it where you want to put it to change its action, to realign the eye and change its movement. So the question, which is an ongoing question in this kind of stuff, is what would be a good way to manage this thing if you have a complication whereby the needle is passed too deep into the wall of the eye, which can definitely happen. We've all probably done it. The wall of the eye is rather thin, and you want to be able to recognize when you do this and then treat it appropriately. So the study on these rabbits involved either saying, okay, I see what I did, I'm going to ignore it and observe it, or I am going to apply laser or freezing therapy to make sure that further complications like retinal detachment or infections or bleeding don't happen. So this study looked at these rabbits and found that there was no difference in the outcome in the eyes, that you could watch it or you could freeze it or you could apply laser and the outcome was the same. So this is your, not typical, but an example of a study where rabbits were used. Now, the interesting thing about this is that in the last paragraph of the article, they state, and I'll quote here, "Due to anatomical differences between human and rabbit eyes, we cannot generalize the results of this study to human subjects." Isn't that interesting? They did the study on rabbits, and then their main conclusion is that these results cannot be generalized to the care of human eyes and human people. So that struck us as completely crazy, actually, that one would do a study on rabbit eye muscles with the goal of what's the reason if you can't generalize this to people? I mean, you have to have some kind of rationale that going into the study that somehow relates to people, because no one really cares about doing eye muscle surgery on rabbits. Rabbits don't get misalignment of their eyes requiring surgery. So the only reason why you would do such a study would be to say, okay, now we're going to take these results and somehow relate them to something about taking care of people, yet the conclusion is that we cannot do that, and in our view, undermining the whole rationale for the study. So I discussed this with Lori, who agreed, and then we also asked Dr. Larry Hansen, who is a well-known professor of pathology in University of California, San Diego School of Medicine, and he also concurred, and we decided we would write a letter back to the Journal of the American Academy of Pediatric Ophthalmology and Strabismus. That's the journal that my professional association publishes, and ask them to give them, and we gave them our views. And I wanted you just to hear what we said about that. And we ask, if not to help humans, then what was the point of the study? Rabbits do not need strabismus surgery, so understanding complications due to eye surgery offers them no benefit. Further, we wrote, if the results could not be generalized to humans upon concluding the study, what was proposed at the onset of the research? Was proper review by the appropriate committees, which are responsible for monitoring the use of animals in experiments, made with the knowledge that the conclusions would not have relevance to humans? It seems to us that the use of the term, quote, animal model, which really means animal model of human disease, seems inappropriate in this instance. And we concluded, we are physicians and advocates for animals. We oppose unneeded vivisection, and this study is exactly that. Well, let me tell you, this letter really got the attention of the journal, and not only were the authors given ample opportunity to reply in print, which is standard, but the editor-in-chief of the journal, Dr. David Hunter, someone I know who's a leader in our field, came strongly to their defense, also writing an editorial that joined the reply from the authors. And both of them stated similar things. We have to advance science, and this is important to use animal models in our understanding of science, et cetera, et cetera. Well, at least they did not ignore us, and I was pleased that they even published our letter, which easily could have been ignored. I mean, they could have said things like, you know, you're just getting too nitpicky here, or we're just going to ignore it. But I think that the fact that they published it indicates that we struck a nerve here and really made them think about what is the purpose of this study, and also perhaps maybe to be more careful about choosing the articles that are published, or at least editing them better, because really, did the authors want to say that we could not generalize this to humans? Well, they wrote it, and the editors acknowledged that, and they did not have them rewrite it, and that's how it was published. And so it seeing that really made us wonder, what's in the mindset? And I would have to say we are going to speculate a little bit here, but what's in the mindset of the researchers who go through the process of utilizing these rabbits to do a study and then conclude that we can't generalize the results? Now, to me, I'm going to say that it's not such a big thing that they use these animals to do this study, whether or not they could generalize or not. They were determined to do a study on rabbits and to see what happened. Since the rabbits are presumably of no value to them, and the lives of the rabbits really don't matter, you just order them and they appear, and then you do your thing, and then they get sacrificed. You're not really made to wonder very carefully exactly why are you doing this. That's my sort of theory on this. The Institutional Animal Care and Use Committee in the United States, those are the committees that look over the research protocols and make sure that the animals, that the idea is fine and the use of the animals appropriate, quote-unquote appropriate, and that they are follow the regulations. Some organization like that must have signed off on this study at some point, and yet the journal did publish it, and we still are wondering really what happened behind the scenes. I'm not sure we'll ever know. Perhaps I'll meet David Hunter. Haven't seen him this time around, and ask him. I wouldn't want to put words in his mouth. So there's our little interaction with the Journal of the American Association for Pediatric Ophthalmology and Strabismus, and they're a study on rabbits. You're listening to Animals Today. I'm Dr. Peter Spiegel. After the break, we've got some news items for you, including what's going on in Dallas. You got it tough. I've seen the toughest soul.